Discussions with the Jan Suchin in Bangkok, January 2017. Recorded and edited by Jonathan and Sarah. Speakers include Nina, Sarah, Jonathan, Suchin, Trin, Sundra, Alberto, and Azita.
And while I'm always alone in conventional sense, but not really, because we learned that with the chitta now, never alone, always seeing or hearing or thinking in that sense. But in the conventional sense, I'm alone, and then I find it sometimes difficult. So I feel it's good to hear more about the ultimate sense, being alone. Panya, not enough.
Actually, even at this moment now, we're surrounded by our good Dhamma friends. But actually, life is only one chitta at a time, one moment at a time. So even at this moment, no matter the circumstances, there's just a moment of seeing, a moment of thinking, a moment of hearing, like, dislike, one chitta at a time. And it may seem that the seeing is different when we're with our friends here than when we're on our own in Holland or somewhere else, but actually seeing is just seeing. It's just the reality which sees. And visible object is just that which is seen, no matter here or there or anywhere else. So this is why actually from the first moment of life to the last moment of life, chitta is alone, and the more understanding develops, the more it understands that chitta is always alone. In fact, it always lives alone, one moment at a time. And it's only the thinking that thinks about, oh, lots of people here, no one there, being alone here, not being alone there. But that's just thinking. But actually, just one chitta at a time, always alone.
It's so good to be with friends who remind me. I'm really happy about that. I'm reminded by of the truth of the of life. Because when you are alone, you start worrying with defilements, and you forget about the truth.
Then you forget about the truth. You keep being absorbed in defilements and Loba and Dosa, and it's, I feel very, very happy, because wherever I go now, meet friends, and I'm all the time reminded, yeah, like Koen Vilay, just a moment ago, I heard her speak in the other room, and I was so happy, because she said, if with so much confidence, she speaks so much sadha, you know, if there's no understanding of this moment now, no way to eradicate defilements, she said. I was so happy just to hear that when I entered here. And, you know, it helps.
Can we talk about different degrees of being alone?
Yes.
As in not so much different levels of understanding, but as in different kinds of chitta, because before you came, I was talking to Alberto about metta. And most of the day, we are thinking with akusta, and clinging is behind dosa. And so I was just thinking in terms of metta as compared to clinging. Metta feels more towards being alone than clinging.
I don't know, because you see that life goes on by conditions all the time. It's not fixed by such and such word from the Buddha that it has to be like this. But each moment is conditioned. And now there are so many, many moments conditioned from the other moments all the time. So how can it be fixed that this condition that, or should this be that? But I think that when we talk about metta, we don't talk about being alone, see? So in order to be able to understand reality little by little, not by the self, but by the accumulation of understanding from hearing. Because the idea of self cannot be eradicated completely by just hearing, but from hearing more and more and more now, like citta and cittasikas right now are working or performing their functions, no one at all. And it does mean that from hearing this, there can be the understanding of being alone at moment of metta or what, but no expectation for any moment of understanding of being alone, which is moment of understanding reality at that moment as no self. So no expectation, depending on whatever conditions, the moment to be metta or to be dosa or to be what. Just learn about the truth, and it's not I who can do anything, but there are conditions, cetasikas, arising and falling away, performing the function.
John Kup, just one word, truth is very hard to understand. And you mentioned before that Buddhas need to explain truth in so many ways. We have the khandhas, we have the ayatanas, we have the dhatu, we have the rest of the ultimate realities.
For what?
To understand truth now.
For understand reality right now.
With the understanding, it is the development of detachment, because sometimes, like Nina was saying before, there may be so much attachment or unhappiness, because one might think about living alone, or someone may think they don't have enough understanding or awareness, but this is all because of clinging to having certain kinds of realities arise, more understanding, more awareness, less attachment, less unhappiness. It's all because of oneself, but when it's the development of understanding, it has to develop with detachment, never mind how much or little awareness, how much or little understanding, how much or little attachment, because they're all just dharmas that pass away and don't last for an instant. And that is truthfulness, being understanding what appears with detachment.
If there is less thinking about oneself and thinking more about dharma, it can condition more understanding.
But I was interested in your comment that metta sounds more like being alone than attachment. What did you mean by that?
Because attachment is just attached to the object, and so it's not, attachment is not alone, it's just with some object all the time. And whereas metta, it's not being attached. And I was thinking about alopa cetasika. And while there's attachment, there's lopa. Whereas when there's metta or any other kusala, it's alopa. So it's just some degree of...
By their habit or accumulations, may have a lot of metta, be very kind, very generous, have a lot of kusala in a day. But if there's no understanding of reality as conditioned, as not self, then it's not getting any closer to the understanding of living alone or citta at this moment, because it's still the idea of my metta, my generosity, my kindness. It doesn't lead any closer to the way out of samsara, the way out of the cycle. Question about ahara pachya, and we know that under Harapachya it mentions Chitta, Chaitana, Ahara and Pasa. But you mentioned one time that actually that a broader meaning of Ahara is Samudaya, cause. And in this sense, one can say that Aharapachya as Samudaya is cause of everything. Could you say a little more about Ahara as
when we
Samudaya?
Talk specifically about Pachya, we study the reality which is Pachya. But when we talk about Samudaya, many conditions.
Samudaya, many conditions, but you, in this context you mentioned that one meaning of Ahara is Samudaya.
The same word, same meaning.
Same meaning, yeah. But not talking about Ahara Pachya, but just the broad context of Samudaya's cause.
Ahara Pachya is one of the 24 Pachyas, and Samudana can be anything which is conditioned.
So if we're referring to Ahara Pachya, specifically referring to the four kinds of Ahara Pachya, which are Chitta, Chaitana, intention, Ahara, like which conditions, rupas, the nutriment, and pasa, contact. But another meaning of ahara is the same as samudaya, so another context. I have a question about sila. So often we talk about virati, sila, abstention, and charita, sila, for example, when one's paying respect to one's teacher or one's elders. These are different kinds of behavior through speech and body, as opposed to the moments of abstaining from killing or harming. And I was listening on a tape when you were saying that sila is usually through body and speech, but actually we know that sila refers to, if we're talking about kusala sila, to any moment of kusala. So if we're talking about any moment of kusala, usually it's not manifesting through body or speech like now, so many moments of kusala.
Just to explain the difference between the
virati and the charita only, yes, but actually any moment.
And also the three kinds of sila, akusala sila, kusala sila, and upajagata sila.
And also when we talk about all kinds of kusala under dana, sila, and bhavana. So we could say in that category that sila just refers to all kinds of kusala not included in dana and bhavana.
We don't talk about the sila padimokha or sila indriya or whatever. At any moment there must be wholesome realities.
So any wholesome cheetahs that are not dana and which are not bhavana.
Actually it means pokati. Usual, natural,
Because like now, so many moments of kusala, sila, but no speech or behavior or observance at all.
You see that there are akusala sila and kusala sila, but under the word visuddhimagga, so it means only sila, which will lead to the purification.
But, for example, now we're just sitting, which is a bodily action. And so it's chitta conditioning the bodily action. So maybe in that sense, because at any point there is some bodily action manifesting.
You're talking about a conventional idea of sitting or bodily action, but I think what you mean is that even when it is any kusala chitta conditions, kaya vinyati or vachi vinyati, but only when it's manifesting through speech or bodily intimation, but not all the time. So it's not just because we can say conventionally we're sitting here, We cannot say that every kusala, citta conditions kaya
vinyati. Not so much conventionally, because right now there is kusala, which conditions bodily intimation. Right? You wouldn't be sitting if there was no citta conditioning that bodily intimation. So I was thinking whether the meaning of sila in this was in the context of observable behavior. So,
shall we say that it's just about different kinds of citta?
Jan Kap, you also talked about whenever there's no kusala, it's always akusala.
Usually when we talk, we don't talk about vipaka and kriya. And just that which can be known.
Yes. And normally throughout the day, since we wake up and everything, there's so many moments of akusala. And there's just little moment of kusala that can arise for recollection.
Intellectually.
I want to say, so what, doesn't matter. We don't have to count how many moments of kusala or akusala, or it doesn't matter at all, because they're just different dharmas arising and pass away. Otherwise, it's clinging to having more kusala again.
My intention is not to say that there must be a lot of akusala, but saying that during the day, there's so much akusala that there could be. And we are not aware of that moment because it's akusala.
And we are not aware of the kusala moments too.
Whatever the reality, there's no understanding most of the time. And never we or I to be aware.
Saying just something as a fact, right? Not.
As Sukhin just said, even the moments of kusala, usually unknown too, whether it's akusala or kusala or vipaka, usually whatever arises in life is unknown.
Awareness has to be developed, of course, but there's no knowing what object awareness will take, and it doesn't matter whether there is a lot of akusala with no awareness or whether there's a lot of kusala with no awareness. The important thing for us to understand is about developing awareness and what can be the object of awareness, and then if awareness is conditioned to arise, it takes whatever object it takes, which might be rupa or citta or jetasika, any kind of dhamma.
Or not thinking about awareness, just understand. Otherwise, there is always the idea of, is it awareness or is it the object of awareness?
The past is gone, the past has gone, the present is also already fallen away, and the future hasn't come. And the future, whenever it comes, it's already fallen away.
So just understand.
It's very hard because I can't force it to understand as well.
No. Don't think about it. Don't force at all. But listen and understand.
Ajahn is always stressing very much understanding, not so much like awareness, because we may be worried about, is it now awareness or not awareness, and thinking of self who has to be aware. But Ajahn will always say understanding.
Without understanding, or very little understanding, can it be conditioned for awareness? So just understand.
Understanding start from the beginning to the end, it's all about understanding. So in the beginning, there's not going to be any direct awareness, but there is understanding. There must be understanding, even at the intellectual level. So understanding is the key, not awareness.
And the problem is not that there's unwholesomeness most of the day. That's not the problem. The problem is that there's no understanding now, no matter what is arising, no matter what is conditioned.
Kunsara, but even though we talk about understanding, there's nothing to say that we are understanding. So only understand can understand. And it's own condition. I can't do anything.
Exactly. So that's why it's useless to try to be aware, useless to try to understand, useless to think about how much or little understanding or awareness or how much unwholesomeness or wholesomeness there is, because they're just different dhammas. So this is understanding. This is the beginning of understanding, knowing that whatever arises now is conditioned and falls away instantly. So useless to try anything, because no one to do anything.
But even those thoughts, for someone who has so much little understanding, it's always conditioned to be there. So we just, there will be just understanding or not understanding.
That's right. And either way, it's conditioned. It doesn't matter, because it's not my understanding or anyone's understanding. So if there's no conditions for understanding, okay, that's how it is. Otherwise, it's clinging to having understanding again.
And whether we're here studying the Dhamma or anywhere else, talking about people with any level of understanding or people with wrong understanding, in the end, it's just Dhammas, anatta.
Kuntrin, moment of understanding is pariyatti, which that will lead to patipatti, being aware of reality.
Not only never mind about whether or not there's awareness, never mind or not if there's understanding.
And it's very hard to not to grasp. It's very hard for the mind not to grasp, and it's not even someone who's grasping or not grasping, but it's just conditions that grasp or not grasp.
Don't try not to grasp either.
Yes, but there, it's just condition. I can't even force it not to grasp or to grasp.
It doesn't matter, because it's just a dharma that passes away instantly. So whether there's grasping or not grasping, it's not Trin's or Nina's or anyone else's. It's just a moment. It's just a reality. And then gone. Dhammada, very natural. That's just how life is. Not in anyone's control at all. So never mind what is conditioned at this moment. Feeling lonely, happy, unhappy, pleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling. It lasts for a moment and gone immediately.
I just heard in one of the talks, Achan was saying, it's more difficult than you think.
I'd like to hear more about that. I didn't hear that before.
Much more than you think.
Because it's so subtle. So very, very subtle.
Yeah.
So simple, but so very subtle.
It sounds
and
simple.
Because the idea of self is so deep-rooted.
Yeah.
And also, understanding needs to develop. So when it's not developed, it will see how difficult the Dhamma is. But when it's more developed, it will see how more difficult it is than...
said it gets more and more difficult, and
and was once saying, it gets more and more difficult to Ajahn. And Ajahn said, yes, she said so. It is more difficult. More, it becomes more and more difficult when Panya is more developed. So I couldn't quite get it.
I think the point is just that more and more ignorance is revealed. More and more misunderstanding, more and more ignorance is known.
So if this is just the result of conditioning, where does that leave free will? Is there even such a thing as free will then?
What do you think? So far, what you've heard, what do you think?
I would say that there is no free will, based on what I heard.
Thinking about free will as conditioned too.
Sure.
The idea that I have free will, that thinking is just conditioned for a moment and then gone.
If we're talking about will, then we have to ask what's will. And will is usually identified with the cetasika, the mental factor, cetana, right? So cetana is another mental factor which is conditioned. So like all other dhammas, it's conditioned, uncontrollable.
There can just be the illusion of free will because we don't see the conditions that are at play. It's only by hearing the teaching that we learn about different conditions that are having effect at every moment. And that would make the idea of free will an impossibility.
Yeah, and also we need to unlearn all we have learned so far. Which is everything we have learned so far, we have to start anew, and not only in this life, but in many, many lives before. So it's a long way to unlearn all that we have learned all over this very, very long period.
In future lives too, we have to struggle to start again, right? Every time, like just beginners, like ignorant fools who have not heard, and after hearing, little bit understanding.
Talking about chetana, so chetana is a mental factor that arises with every citta. It's often translated as intention, and it has the function of coordinating the citta and the other cetasikas in order to experience an object. And it has the, at moments of kusala and akusala only, it has the function of ayuhana. I was reading about it, about the rasa of ayuhana.
I think that ayuhana means moment of birth.
Well, when I was reading in the Atasalani about chetana, and it talked about the function of coordinating, and it talked about the rasa of ayuhana just at moments only in kusala and akusala. And I had understood before that ayuhana refers to at a moment of birth all the karma that has been accumulated that will bring about results during that life. But here it was referring to ayuhana in moments of kusala and akusala. So I understood it meant accumulating so that karma can bring result.
It has to be kusala or akusala only, so
yes,
that it can be accumulated. And at moment of birth, ayuhana means of the karma which can produce result in that
during
life.
That life. Mm-hmm. So at moment of birth, it's clear, it refers to all the karma that can bring result during that life. But when it talks about the function of ayuhana at moments of kusala and akusala, not with the vipaka citta, then it's just referring in that context to the accumulation of kusala and akusala or particularly to karma that will bring results?
Because at one moment of birth consciousness, it collects or has many accumulation, which right. are akusala and akusala.
From many karmas, yes.
Which can bring results in that mm. life.
Yes.
So those kusala and akusala, which can bring results in that life, is ayuhana.
Ayuhana, yes. So when it's referring with regard to chaitana, to the ayuhana and kusala and akusala, it's still referring to the rebirth,
anytime,
the results.
Yeah, any time, any moment, which is accumulated, and only those who can karma which could bring
result by way of birth or other mm, results.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So it's the accumulated karma that can bring results, and then
in
at birth
life.
It's referring to mm. those karmas that can bring birth mm. result in that lifetime.
So, Chan, it's only limited to the karma that will bring results in that lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Because
in, this
in the future, we know that in some of the karma, especially after enlightenment, will be what's the word? Ahosi. Ahosi. Right? So, no, I'm saying that I was wondering why don't we talk about ahuyana in the sense that.
Just
in the future, it will, even in, why limit only to this life? Why not future lives? Because karma will condition.
In that context that we were just discussing, it's referring to the patisandhi citta, to the karma at that moment of birth that will bring results
oh, okay.
during that particular life. It's not saying that other karma from the past won't bring results in other lifetimes, but that's
only
not referred to mm-hmm. as ayuhana. And ahosi just means past karma. So when you say that, for example, an arahat, okay, karma still brings results during that lifetime, but ahosi just means past karma.
Or that which is done,
that
ahosi.
Which done. I never heard it before, so
ahosi. Ahosi, or are you asking about ahosi or ayuhana? Ayuhana means, so it means accumulation of karma. So for example, at the first moment of life, the first citta of life, it all the karma that has been accumulated that can bring results during that life is referred to as ayuhana. Ayuhana karma that can bring results in that lifetime. It's one of those words that is often misused a lot. Just like ahosi is, yes.
Rokhe has sent quite a detailed technical question. Would you like to start bringing it
up? He was asking about samadhi, about kanika samadhi and
upachara.
Upachara
samadhi.
Apana and upachara.
Upachara and apana.
Apana. Yeah, because in the Visuddhimagga it says that after jhanas, he emerged from jhana and he has vipassana. He develops vipassana after jhana. Jhana first and afterwards vipassana, which is kanika samadhi. From apana samadhi, it then turns into kanika samadhi. Is that right?
Why not? Because different moment. The moment which citta is apana is different. It has fallen away. And there are conditions for satipatthana, for that object to be satipatthana of awareness.
Yes. And why would it continue to be apana? Because the conditions for apana is one, and conditions for satipatthana is another. So,
because usually the development is from sila samadhi panya, which means it's mistaken into being like gradual. But I think it's the other way around, from apana to kanika. It's
It's not in row.
We were saying earlier, when understanding develops, it doesn't matter what the object is, whether it's kusala citta, akusala citta, vipaka, dosa, happiness, unhappiness, jhana, it's still just impermanent, unsatisfactory dharmas, so any reality depending on the accumulations. But I think his particular question was, there is a passage in the Visuddhimagga, which Alberto mentioned, referring to after jhana and then understanding of those cittas. And there's an expression, apito via cittam nichalam tapeti. And it refers to how the citta, the understanding, the vipassana, can be developed and maintained. And then it's often translated nichalam, permanently, without any flitting or agitation, apito via, just like jhana samadhi is absorbed in the object. This is how some Burmese teachers translate it, and they translate it as permanently, and but we know that any citta arises and falls away, and so when they translate nichalam as permanently, I think it just means unwavering or repeatedly.
Can jhana be object of satipatthana? This is the answer.
Even when jhana is the object of satipatthana,
jhana has to fall away.
Yeah. So it's kanika at that
jhana
time.
Jhana has fallen away.
After that, it is kanika which understands jhana as the self.
And the commentary says that this kanika samadhi is nichalam, which goes on and on. It's
by conditions.
By conditions. Even if it's kanika, it's
no matter short or long, it's by conditions.
By condition.
There's no rule.
Otherwise, there must be the idea of self. No way to understand the anatomies.
And one more thing. Is there also, because there are panchadvara viticitta in between the vipassana in vipassana? Another reason for...
Otherwise, how can the object, the kama vajra, reality be object, if it does not arise?
I think it just means that it repeats. There are repeated moments of the awareness with the fallen away jhana citta as object.
It in this particular context rather than, say, repeated awareness of visible object or some other reality. Is it because after the jhana cittas have fallen away and then there is the pachavekana, the reviewing cittas, so when there's understanding, just conditions for many moments of understanding those realities because of the intensity, or just say by conditions?
Mm-hmm. No rule.
And so when it's translated Nietzsche Lama's permanent, it actually just means repeatedly.
Not only one.
Not one, just many times.
Ajahn Kap, just by listening, we can see that the Buddha's wisdom is so deep and wide, and for our understanding, or anybody understanding, to actually understand every word or just one word that he do is nearly impossible. Mm-hmm. So just understand little by little.
Just while we're on the topic of jhana cittas, I was just mentioning something to Zita before we started, because I'd made a note in survey Paramatta Dhammas. It says the Lokutra jhana citta, which arises in a process other than during which the magga citta eradicated defilements, is the Lokutra jhana vipaka citta, which is called Fruition Attainment Pala Samapati. And here we're referring to when the Lokuttara Citta, moments of enlightenment, immediately follow mundane jhana. But actually, we can say that any Lokuttara Cittas are jhana cittas in the sense yes. that they are lakanupani jhana. So actually, any Lokuttara Citta is Lokuttara jhana citta. So when it mentions in survey the Lokuttara jhana citta, which arises in the process, actually it's referring here specifically to Lokuttara following mundane jhana, but actually all Lokuttara cittas are Lokuttara jhana cittas.
Mm-hmm. But not like those who develop jhana.
No, so it's a distinction, but we could say any Lokuttara cittas, Lokuttara jhana citta in the sense, because Nibbana is the object, right. but distinct from the Lokuttara jhana citta, which follows the Aramunu Pani jhana, the mundane jhana citta.
By way of the strength of samadhi, of that level.
No matter what we're reading, whether it's survey or any text or anything, it just depends on the understanding right. and the context what is meant. And also in survey under the kinds of vasudhi, because we were talking about sila vasudhi, so it has to be sila leading to purification that is mentioned. So in this case, it has to be related to the understanding of nama and rupa, otherwise it cannot be sila vasudhi. And under citta vasudhi, which is the second kind of vasudhi, and it says, okay, it's referring to different kinds of samadhi arising with understanding of realities. And then it says, or when jhana citta is the object of satipatthana, jhana citta is citta visuddhi. What does that mean? Because if jhana citta is the object of satipatthana,
because of the strength of samadhi.
Because of the strength of samadhi. So when jhana citta is the object of right understanding, it's citta visuddhi, because so it's the.
It means the strong visuddhi, samadhi.
A strong.
For example, sila. Can sila be visuddhi by itself?
Only with understanding mm-hmm. of realities.
So, with understanding. Sila is sila visuddhi.
Visuddhi.
So, when it is understanding the jhana as the object of right understanding at level of satipatthana, at that moment, citta is visuddhi, including the visuddhi of citta, which developed by jhana person.
Oh, I see. So this is referring particularly to the one developed by the person who's developed jhana.
Because
it's referring to the jhana citta, that is the citta with understanding. But the jhana citta itself, because when the jhana citta is the object, so let's say there's jhana citta arises, no understanding of reality because it's mundane jhana.
It cannot be visuddhi.
It cannot be visuddhi. And then afterwards there can be understanding of that reality.
When
just
it's
like
the object of understanding.
Yes.
At that level of understanding, it is citta's visuddhi.
Citta visuddhi, yes.
Samadhi at level that it can understand reality as
But
it
why
is.
Why does it say at that moment jhana citta is citta visuddhi?
When we read any book of the teachings, we read just one book and one word, and it talks about all level of that reality. Like if the word is samadhi, it talks about different kinds of samadhi. So when it is citta visuddhi, it includes the citta visuddhi, because the samadhi is very strong for those who develop jhana. But it has to be panya, which knows or understands. Otherwise, it can not lead to enlightenment.
But the jhana citta itself, the mundane jhana,
without
I know at the moment
understanding, it cannot be citta visuddhi.
It cannot be citta visuddhi, yes. But even when there is understanding and it is citta visuddhi, it's a different moment from the jhana citta.
Right.
So it's still not the jhana citta itself, which is citta visuddhi. It's the because the jhana citta is the object. So the following moments can be citta visuddhi.
The moment of samadhi which can understand jhana citta.
Right, that one is citta visuddhi. But it says in the text jhana citta.
Because it talks about other moment when one develops jhana.
I see, it's referring to other
That's
moments.
That's the way to
yeah.
read the Tipitaka.
Yeah.
So if it wasn't preceded by jhana, then it wouldn't be jhana visuddhi. It would only be citta visuddhi.
When we talk about visuddhi, it has to be
citta.
Panya.
Right. And the reference to jhana visuddhi is not to any particular...
There's no reference to jhana visuddhi.
I thought you said jhana visuddhi also.
Jhana citta is citta visuddhi.
Okay. And that's because it's the object of...
We talk about those who develop vipassana and those who develop samadhi. When they attain the level of jhana, the jhana is visuddhi. Not by way of vipassana, but by way of samatha development. But when we talk about visuddhi at any time, it means the understanding of jhana. Jhana is the object of right understanding of the development of vipassana. Because of panya of vipassana condition it to be visuddhi as the object. Because you see that if the object is not the jhana, can it be visuddhi like jhana?
Jhana visuddhi.
From karma. Only that. When we read one word in Tipitaka and the in other book, it's there, all there. So it's hard to understand what is meant at that particular.
I suppose we could say it's because the jitas follow so quickly too, because when the jhana cittas followed so quickly by the citta visuddhi. So
but you see that for the vipassana development, it does mean that the vipassana missed the citta visuddhi. There must be sila visuddhi and citta visuddhi and then diddhi visuddhi. Without citta visuddhi, there cannot be diddhi visuddhi.
Regardless of the level of... samadhi, and regardless of whether jhana has ever been attained or.
Jhana is also quite wonderful and amazing how understanding accumulates little by little until it became powerful enough to reach that level of visuddhi.
Mm-hmm.
The understanding only accumulates from now.
Hearing, considering, moment to moment, depending on how long.
There cannot be any thinking of trying to understand or thinking whether this or not is understanding.
Thinking with panya.
There can be, there is thinking of trying to understand all these kinds of. But they're just dhammas that can be understanding even at those times of trying or thinking wrongly, any time, any reality. Whatever arises, it's conditioned. So instead of thinking there shouldn't be this kind of thinking or it should be this kind, whatever reality, whatever kind of thinking can be known to.
Can you repeat that, please?
Because you said it shouldn't be thinking about trying to understand, but there are no rules, because if there is thinking now, how can I understand this? That kind of thinking is conditioned already. So it's not a matter of trying not to think this way or trying to think another way. It's understanding whatever arises now, whatever is conditioned at this moment. Because
sometimes
it's
when Trin is saying should not, it just simply saying distinguishing between what is right and what is wrong, right? You're not saying the self should.
I'm not saying should that we should, but like you said before, Khun Sara, that there's no need to, but there's no condition that we can stop or not stop it. It's just conditions.
Because that tendency is so deeply rooted. So when one hears it's not useful, so then, or there should be more understanding, so it slips in so easily. So the point is, it's just natural. It doesn't matter. There can be understanding even then, any time.
And any reality. Any reality. Why do you say until then?
It's just panya and understanding. There's I can't do anything or I can do anything, but it's just conditions.
But
just
why talk about a goal until then? Why does it matter? Until then, or what's now? I mean, important is now.
Yes.
There's understanding, another Dhamma. There's no understanding, another Dhamma.
Is until then also another Dhamma?
No, just thinking about something, just an idea.
Yes, and that idea is also another Dhamma, right?
No, ideas are not Dhammas. Ideas are concepts. They're not real. Yes, if you're referring to a particular citta in the future, yes, then
no,
it's
I'm referring to the citta now that said until then.
That's that's just
now. That citta now.
That citta now is Dhamma.
But until then is a concept, but that citta now is
until now.
Pahana. Pahana means abandoning. And there are different kinds and different levels of pahana, of abandoning. I think we mentioned last time, I think you were with us, Sundra and Nikon Nyok, we were talking about Tadanga, pahana, and sometimes I read that it refers to the temporary overcoming of vitikama, stronger kalesa, through kusala, sila. And I think you were talking about vipassana jnana as tadanga bahana, the temporary elimination of self. Would you say a little bit more about, well, there are other kinds of bahana we can talk about afterwards, but tadanga bahana, whether it refers particularly to vipassana jnana and development of insight and the temporary elimination of self and kalesa at that moment, or whether it refers to any kind of kusala, any kusala sila.
Can we say that many degrees?
We
of
say
the tanka pahana.
Many degrees and many kinds also, or just many degrees?
For example, at moment of kusala, ordinary kusala,
yes,
can it be the tanka, but not pahana yet?
It at that moment of any kusala, there is no akusala arising, so it is tadanga, but nothing is
bahana,
abandoned even a little bit. So it's only when it is development of satipatthana that there is the beginning of pahana, the beginning of abandoning.
And each vipassana jnana is tadanga pahana.
So it particularly refers to vipassana jnana. And then the next one, vikampahana, pahana, refers to jhana, particularly to jhana, and the temporary overcoming of the pariyutana kalesa, the subtle kalesa. kalesa. So this is particularly referring to jhana, vikampana pahana. And then the next one is samucheda pahana, which has to refer to enlightenment, various stages, because it's the eradication of anusya, of the latent tendencies. Samucheda means cutting off. Samucheda. The four maggachitas cut off the anusya at the different stages. But the next one is patipassadi pahana, which refers to path knowledge. So this would be referring to the path
maggachitta.
But the last one, the samucheda pahana, refers to the maggachitas also.
Yes, because when we talk about samucheda, it means the eradication, which is magga. And yes, also, when we talk about the maggachitta, palacitta, and nibbana, another word for it.
Yes, okay. And when we refer to the patipassadi pahana, then it's the knowledge, the understanding at that moment that is referred to. So referring to the same citta, but different function, right, different aspect. Yeah. And the nisarana pahana refers to parinibbana, the complete.
The nibbana itself.
Nibbana itself, okay. So it doesn't refer to, it's not parinibbana, no. It's nibbana itself, okay. And sometimes they talk about each pahana as the knocking out of an evil quality by the opposite good. And they often use this knocking out.
Just kusala.
Just kusala, okay.
Temporary.
Right. For example, Tadanga Vinaya, the knocking out of an evil quality through the overcoming of evil part by part, and through the overcoming of the kalesa by suppression in absorption, vikambana vinaya. So that's referring to the same as pahana, I think.
Usually, I think that we can understand this only when panya develops.
Mm. Mm.
Otherwise, it just pass,
yes,
on and on without, yeah, deep understanding.
But it's interesting because these terms are often used in the wrong context. So
about vipassana jnana, I heard that it's not pahana, but can we say it's the beginning of pahana?
Yes, tathanga.
Yeah, because tathanga of the pahana. Idea of self. Mm-hmm. When there's a moment of vipassana jnana.
Not yet the eradication.
Not eradication yet, but a beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Ucheda, the cutting off. Yeah. So what is the real meaning of Tadanga then? It just means temporary. Temporary.
Also means that portion.
Yes.
So it would be anga.
It would be anga.
Not the whole yet.
And vikampana also is because temporary has a means temporary, but in this case referring to jhana. What's the meaning of vikampana?
Just different level of samadhi.
The jhana one is referring to the suppression, which extends in time, you know, many many chittas, so it's remains suppressed without any.
That means temporary or partial or chula sotapanna or partial.
Just a quick question about concepts because of a discussion I've been having on the discussion list. when there's reflection on something like death, for example, with panya, the object of the citta is a concept of death, right? And there can be reflection about a subject matter without thinking of words, can't there? For example, when there is reflection about death, it is the subject matter that is the object.
Is it a question about concept?
It's really a question about citta, I suppose.
When we talk about concept, what do you mean?
We're talking about jittas which have something other than a dhamma as object.
Do you mean when reflection on death as a concept, like life is so short, or we can die anytime, or something like that, you don't mean the momentary death, like the arising and falling away of a reality as a concept?
Any kind of death, not limiting, but yeah, could be any kind of death.
Yeah, you mean
any kind of reflection.
Any kind of reflection, also about a reality, you mean?
Yeah, I think there is Dhamma nu pasana and Marana sati, Dhamma nu sati. So maybe the other kind is reflecting on Dhamma?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Is there any difference between Dhamma nu sati and Pariyatti? Because in both cases we know that if one hasn't heard the Buddha's teachings, there cannot be samatha with dhammanusati. We cannot have dhammas objects because it's reflecting on dhamma, and pariyatti is reflecting on dhamma. So just the same, can we say? Yes.
When it's not satipatthana,
it's just same.
Oh, Ajahn, when you say when it's not satipatthana,
it is other sati. Like maranānusati, it's not satipatthana.
Right. So, reflecting on Dhamma, what was your question again?
When it's reflecting wisely, because it has to be kusala citta, has to be with panya, reflecting on Dhamma. So whether you call it dhammanusati as object of samatha or pariyatti, it's exactly the same, because it's intellectual understanding, wise reflecting on Dhamma, and that's why it cannot be an object of samatha if one hasn't heard the Buddha, if there isn't understanding of the Buddha's teachings at that degree.
So Ajahn, just thinking about kusala, for example, doesn't constitute reflection on the Dhamma. It has to be thinking about dhammas before it's dhammanusati, is that right?
So think about kusala? Do think about kusala?
Sorry, do I? Is that, sorry, I can't. Yeah. Is that a question? Do I think about kusala?
Just think about
kusala, right? Mm-hmm. Yes, yep.
Think about kusala.
Right.
What is that?
What is it?
What is that?
Thinking.
About kusala.
About kusala. About kusala citta, I suppose.
When we think about the meaning of pahana and so on, that is dhammanusati.
But not pariyatti.
That is pariyatti, because that is not satipatthana.
I see.
But sometimes we talk about pariyatti being aware of what's of. Understanding what appears now,
the
intellectually.
The intellectual understanding is pariyatti.
Don't we say for pariyatti it has to be of a presently arising reality, a concept of presently
pariyatti
arising reality?
Pariyatti is the understanding thoroughly about the teachings, the words of the Buddha. For example, understanding.
Understanding. And so the understanding
about
understands
jitta.
What?
Jitta. What is jitta? What is jitasika?
But not the story, the what appears now.
When it's the moment which appears, it is satipatthana, not pariyati. It is patipati.
Right. But if I'm talking about seeing, without considering the seeing now, is that pariyati?
So it comes the moment. At that moment, it is not the patipati.
But it's pariyati.
So it has to be pariyati. For example, now they're seeing, and the moment of thinking about that which sees. See? That is intellectual understanding of pariyati.
But they could be talking about seeing without actually thinking about what sees at the present moment.
About Dhamma or not?
Then it wouldn't be Dhammanusati. If it's not any understanding about Dhamma, it wouldn't be Dhammanusati.
Then it sounds that Dhammanusati cannot lead to higher levels of concentration.
I think we can say it will not, it may not.
If it does, how does it happen?
If it's wise consideration.
On the same.
That's why some of subjects like Buddha, for example, cannot lead to jhana level, only to upachara
and
samadhi and
dhamma,
same, because it needs reflection and consideration and contemplation. So that's why some subjects can only lead as far as upachara, not to apana samadhi. Not all subjects lead to apana samadhi. The pariyati, the dhammanusati, conditions padipati and leads to lokuttara cittas, which is jhana citta.
But then it would seem that this dhammanusati would not necessarily be taking the same concept continuously. Maybe different concepts, but all with pariyati.
Just like pariyati, it doesn't matter what label or what word it is. It's just wise reflection, understanding about dharmas, like even about pahana, about what is the way leading to the eradication of defilements, what is abandoning at this moment, little by little. Actually, it's about reality now. It's about the development of punya.
So
no matter whether it's called dhammanusati or pariyati, it's just about the understanding of dhammas.
Hmm. So dhammanusati is both samatha bhavana and vipassana bhavana.
It's the way leading to vipassana bhavana. It's the precursor, like pariyati, as the way leading to patipati or satipatthana, or the way leading to vipassana.
We are talking about different developments, samatha bhavana and vipassana bhavana. So when it is dhammanusati, we talk about the samatha bhavana. But satipatthana can arise anytime. Everything can be object of satipatthana when it's reality. So when we talk about the three different words, pariyati, patipati, and pativeda, when it's not pariyati, when we talk about other things, but when we talk about realities or the words of the teachings, and at that moment it is wise understanding, it is pariyati, as long as it's not patipati yet. It has to be the level of pariyati.
For example, if one's talking about the Buddha as object of calmness, But if there is no understanding and one's reflecting on how one pays so much great respect to this person and this, actually that isn't buddhanusati. So if there's no understanding that actually these are just different dharmas, different qualities, not a person, not a being at all, but just qualities of understanding, qualities of compassion, different dharmas, it's not
dhammanusati.
Really. But even for reflecting on Buddha, buddhanusati, if there's no understanding about
different moments. At the moment of reflecting on Buddha, we're actually talking about a person.
When Khun Trinh said that how great Panya Buddha has, that is buddhanusati. Any word which we think about Buddha wisely, it is buddhanusati.
At that moment, we're not thinking about citta chetasika. We're talking about...
It's not satipatthana.
Yes.
But it has to be with understanding. If there is an idea of an actual person existing at that moment, then it's not understanding at that moment. Yeah. So that's why there has to...
Metta doesn't have to be with wrong understanding. So same with buddhanusati. It's not with wrong understanding. But it still has the concept of Buddha as object.
Yes. His reflection has the concept still.
Just depends on what
kind of concept it is.
And so Bariyati and Patipati is so much different, but without Bariyati, there cannot be Patipati at all.
Because Bariyati conditioned Patipati. Unexpectedly.
just like using a small finger to scratch a whole mountain. But
like now. Just like now. No one but citta and cittasikas arising and falling away, and they are all forgotten.
It's a good point that you make. One may, like Trinh said, reflect on, say, amazing understanding and wisdom and metta of the Buddha, and one may reflect on those qualities. But no matter how much reflecting there is on those qualities, it cannot lead to the development of satipatthana unless there is understanding of the thinking or the different realities.
Just at that very moment that he said at it was puttanusati already.
You're saying is that without understanding the Dhamma, there cannot be buddhanusati.
And the reflection, the degree of reflection wisely on the Buddha's qualities depends on the degree of understanding of Dhammas.
I also have one sutta we discussed a few months ago. Talk about Morana Nusati. Like Kunina said, life is so short, and then develop right understanding and attain enlightenment. Different moment.
Because the ultimate meaning of death is this moment, so if there's understanding now, that is the moment of insight. So that's why it can be enlightenment even now, if that understanding has been accumulated on that. So that's the deepest meaning of death or maranasati.
Even the word, where we will be tomorrow. That is maranasati. No need to say that we have to recite at all, just at that very moment. And unknown is maranasati.
familiar with the three meanings of death, the different meanings of death?
If I have to recollect now, I just remember two. One is the Shivit death, and the other one is the death of, that I read in Ajahn's book, of the death at every jitta step falls away.
There is the death at Parinibbana, the end of the cycle.
Yes, thank you. So the first one is the conventional death. And like Ajahn,
the momentary death, like now, seeing now, hearing now, living alone now, that we talked about at the beginning. This is momentary death. And the third is the end of the cycle.
So, Chan, it would seem that only a Sotapanna can know about the what it means to experience Parinibbana, because that's the end of the cycle, means having eradicated all defilements, no more rebirth.
At level of Arhata?
Yes, but only someone who has understanding about dhammas and have eradicated some dhammas, such as a Sotapanna, would know what it means to eradicate the cause.
Certainly. No doubt at all. Only 7 jati life left.
Jan Kap, so same with expectation or things. There's no knowing what jitters will arise. And it's even the next jitter, we have no way of knowing what is.
So no idea.
No idea. No.
Beyond expectation.
But the expectation has arisen and already fallen away.
And until the understanding is firm, there will be expectation.
It is a reality.
Can a Sotapanna have expectation?
For more understanding, expectation of
whatever.
The kind of lobha, so even the
yes,
understanding is so firm, but still
yes.
Lobha has not been eradicated.
But the Sotapanna eradicate titti and sakaya titti.
Still can be expectation.
But no doubt about reality.
Talking about realities and thinking about them, you know, all the realities that we learn about, that's not necessarily pariyatti, is it?
No. Isn't understanding?
Well, there is understanding.
Understanding is pariyatti.
Understanding of the realities, mm-hmm, that can arise and fall and what they are and the names of them. And
just citta, cittasika, not self.
Last week, I got from something from what Ajahn said, that pointed to the fact that there wouldn't be knowing pariyatti as pariyatti if there was no satipatthana. Means you would know that there's a moment of pariyatti only with understanding at the level of direct understanding, right? So until then, we're just speculating and thinking, yeah, with attachment and doubt.
But your question, I'm not sure if this is what you're asking, but not all talking about realities is with understanding, because you can talk about realities in a senseless sort of way. Yeah. Yes.
The word pariyatti means thorough aptitude, means being to become thoroughly fit for purpose. In that broader sense, the word of pariyatti, pari meaning thorough and complete, and yapti meaning quite close to our English word aptitude, having thorough aptitude. Now, we know that can only be may remain intellectual, but it's an essential tool that enables understanding to grow. The more we can be thoroughly fit for purpose, if you like, that is a precondition and an absolute condition, or certainly a precondition, excuse me, for understanding to grow. The more we can consider, and we talk about those four conditions for using that word that Jonathan brought up before, anga, sotapatti anga, it's the thorough appreciation, you could say, of the Dhamma in all its different facets that enables understanding to grow.
Yeah. Are you saying that it's a level of accumulated understanding, or are you simply saying that only with pariyatti can there be patipati?
Both.
Both, right.
Can we say that any understanding which is not moment of the patipati is pariyatti?
Just a moment. Just a moment, different moments. We try to work out, is it pariyatti, is it understand, then we go wrong again because it's clinging.
Kunsara, for the word that you used, just a moment, that is also morana anusati, right?
Whatever we call it, it's just the truth that any citta, it just lasts for an instant and then it's gone. So whether it's panya or dosa or lobha or ditti or moha, it's just a moment. That's all.
To the person who understands.
Because we tend to think in terms of a situation, or when I'm reading this text, is it pariyatti or not? Or when I'm thinking like this, is it lobha or whatever? But just different moments, different kinds of cittas. No need to work it out or analyze because it's gone long ago. If there's no understanding in that moment, it cannot be known later.
Rin, morana nusati is also just a moment, right? So different understanding.
It's meant by living alone, just understanding for a moment, that's all.
It can condition doubt, depending on understanding, yeah.
About pahana, it can be condition for understanding, or can be a condition for dosa, or condition for confusion. So it's just all back to this moment.
If it conditions dosa, the dosa can be a condition for understanding.
Just want to share what Kunrit shares the everyone yesterday. He talks about the five benefits of listening to the Dhamma. One is that we get to hear the word that we never heard before, hear the Dhamma. The second one is whatever you don't understand, you have a chance to understand. The third is that it can eradicate doubt. The fourth is that it can conditions right view, and the third is the fifth is that at that moment the jitter is at the moment of understanding, the jitta is without akusala.
You are Suat Monning.
Yes, I am Suat Monning.
In Thai.
In Thai.
In Thai.
Heard that, and until you came to the last one, I was going to add the sixth one, but actually the sixth one was the fifth.
It's on the accumulated understanding, like one can read the text or one can listen with kusala or akusala, with understanding or ignorance. Just depends on the conditions at that very moment. Otherwise, someone may think, oh, if they listen to Dharma, then it will be all these benefits, but it depends on conditions. The benefits when listened to wisely.
I think that the we can learn a lot of the text and about realities, but to have reminders like it's just one moment and it's gone, it's so important, I think, of, because otherwise if we learn it just becomes academic, and if there's not the realization that these moments go, they rise, they're here for a very short moment and gone. And I don't think this many other people talk about this. It's very...
The texts also talk about that which arises and falls away all the time.
Yes, but I think, you know, when I'm reading it, it's not so clear, but when I'm reminded, you know, by good friends, it's very beneficial.
It is so very short. We can read in the text, oh, it goes away and it's impermanent. But it's very general and coarse. But so very quick at this moment now. That is a help if we could remember or understand this.
Or maybe it's simply a matter of first understanding that what the text talk is about Dhamma. So when it's Dhamma, and Dhamma is that which arises and falls away immediately.
And it's not really understood. That's what Ajahn often says. We think we understand already, but we don't understand yet.
And I was trying to point out that before we understand that something rises and falls away, we have to understand that it's a Dhamma.
Excuse me?
We have to understand that it's a Dhamma before understanding that it has risen and falling away.
We think we understand that's the Dhamma, but we don't really understand it's a Dhamma. Not yet.
No.
Not yet.
Well, I think, Sukhin, I might be wrong, but it's like you're putting the emphasis more on when we're learning about Dhammas, it's that Dhamma. Dhamma, just the word Dhamma, they're the ones that arise and fall away. By learning about Dhammas,
yeah.
We're learning about arising and falling, because it's the Dhammas that arise and fall. It's the Dhammas that are impermanent.
Yeah.
And wisdom grows in familiarity with Dhamma.
Mm.
So you're not going to see rise and fall away immediately. It's coming to know gradually the characteristics of each Dhamma that one ultimately sees that they rise and fall away by conditions.
And with some growing understanding, it's known that it takes a very long time. It doesn't happen quickly.
Patience,
yes. I'm currently reading the book on perfections. It's about my third reading. I really like that book. They're good reminders. The parami.
Yeah, which one? Because I also wrote on parami.
Well, that's the one I'm reading.
Yeah.
The 10 parami.
This one that's written
by Janet translated.
And I also wrote one myself.
Oh, I'm not sure which one. The yellow cover book.
That's from Aja.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's great.
And actually, like Sukhin said before, when there's more understanding, whatever one reads, whether it's about Buddha or if one reads about Anantra Pachya or Viti or whatever, it's actually one realizes it's about this moment and the shortness of life, but it just depends how one reads and how one considers. So it may seem academic to study about Viti Cittas or something, but actually it's just about the shortness of life and how it's just different cittas arising and falling away instantly now, not in anyone's control at all. And how it couldn't be any other way.
So it's so easy to fool oneself that we think that we understand when we read the text. But in truth, not yet. So we need reminders.
Actually, that's interesting, because I think one of the, of all the paramis that I've read, I find the one on truthfulness the most difficult.
Really?
Really? I mean, are you truthful enough to know? To know, I mean, when you say truthful the most difficult, it's saying that others are more easy, but...
What do you mean more difficult?
I understand now that each level of panya should be known exactly, not just thinking about this as higher one, to be truthful.
I don't quite get it, what you say about higher one, yeah?
There are many levels of panya.
There are many levels, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So to be truthful to panya of each is difficult for you or for anyone?
For everybody.
Because I can't speak for everybody.
Many people mistake this moment as understanding of higher level.
And it's not yet that level. And they think it's a higher level, but it's not yet. Because it's very low.
To be truthful, to understand that whatever appears now is the object of right understanding, which can lead to enlightenment.
Whatever appears.
One realizes that how much one understands it. Mm-hmm. For seeing, see, we talk about seeing all the time. It arises and falls away, but how much the understanding of seeing is, to be truthful.
So very little. We see that people. We see a table, a people, a microphone.
But then all are difficult because all is about developing a panya. So when panya is weak, all are difficult. All the paramis.
More and more. So it is be truthful to the truth, that's all.
Can you say more about how you see truthfulness and why it's so difficult? It's useful to discuss this, I think.
Well, I guess to start with, it's truthful in just everyday life, you know, without trying to deceive anybody or, you know, to be truthful in speech. So that to me is the very basic. But the truthfulness, like the parami, I find, I don't know why, but I do find it difficult. I find it a little bit confusing. And I'm listening to Achan, I'm assuming now it's because there's little panya to know.
Yeah, and many aspects to truthfulness, like truthful in speech is one aspect, or like the Buddha, what he said was always true, and according he was acting according to the truth always when he said something. That is one aspect. But the other aspect is about reality now. As Ajahn says, how little or how much understanding is there now of seeing now, visible object now.
But Nina, it sounds like the same thing, to be truthful to the reality now and to be truthful as the Bodhisattva, as in true to the situation too. It's, I think, same.
Not speaking a lie. Telling the truth is only one aspect.
And that can only happen when there's understanding one's own citta, isn't it?
Yes.
People who haven't heard the Dhamma can know when they're speaking the truth and when they're telling a lie.
Satchaparami, it's understanding, it's the truth at this moment, like when people hear about seeing invisible object and they say they know and this is simple and it's already known, this is not satchaparami, so it has to develop with understanding of reality now.
So the conventional meaning of being honest or being
has nothing to do with satchaparami.
I don't know what Jonathan is thinking. About? No. Truthful?
That maybe is honest because you're thinking, I'm not thinking anything. What? Ajahn may be thinking, I'm thinking, right?
Akusala, different moments. Moments of panya, moments of ignorance, just different moments. Having fun, moments of loba, damada, so natural, doesn't matter at all.
Maybe it's good to go more deeply into it. Maybe also this. We take for kusala what is akusala, that is not truthful, and that can happen quite often. Because the cittas change so quickly, so when you're doing a good deed, that moment can be kusala, of course, when it is sincere. Sincerity is one aspect. And then afterwards, very soon afterwards, you think, oh, I'm so good. And it's very natural.
My gusala.
And it's so natural coming in, and that's akusala already. Or my gusala. So fast. And so then panya has to be really more developed to understand this. That is an important aspect, I think.
So you could say that, you know, a good deed, and then it's immediately after it's my good deed. So that's being untruthful.
Yeah.
To the fact that it's not my deed at
all. And we take it for
kusala,
but it isn't. And that can happen so often all the time. Yeah, it's really hard to know.
I wouldn't think it's being untruthful. I was just thinking that there can be a moment of honesty, and then taking the honesty for self, for my, and then there can be understanding that of that as what it is.
Yeah, and then before you get to that.
But that third one would be the sincerity, the truthfulness as parami, because it's understanding the taking of kusla for mind.
Nina, I think it's also the function of understanding that understand sees the akusla the moment ago, and to be truthful to the moment right now. That's truthfulness.
It's so difficult to know the moment right now when it is already gone so fast. Really hard, and we shouldn't try to catch it. That is not the way.
Yes, I can't.
It depends on the panya, but we know the panya is so little, so we don't think that we know already all that.
And that's truthfulness, right, Kunina? But I'm not saying that we should know, or I just think that all the paramis are headed by panya. So if panya is already there,
yeah,
these things are all panya's doing its own function.
I think so.
I think it's not parami. It's not parami unless there is panya. Is that correct? Yeah.
And panya can condition truthfulness too.
And the one meaning of parami, as if I recall right, is the dharma that takes one away from samsara, I think. Is it, Chan? The meaning of parami.
Go to the other side. Yeah. Other. This, now we are on this side, and then we have to cross over.
Right. So only Pandya can do that.
Mm-hmm. And Pandya can condition all aspects of truthfulness too. For example, we understand Dhamma, but at moment of giving away things, it doesn't mean that there is Panya at that moment. But Panya conditioned giving. So at that moment, it is Parami.
So, Chan, if it's not Parami, can we say that if it's not Parami, then it's very likely that giving will be taken for my giving?
And for nothing. Not to let decrease the kilesa. Just for oneself, that is not part of me. So anyone who does not understand the teachings of the Buddha cannot have parami.
For example, sometimes people say their aim is just to do more kusala, but it may be just do more kusala for oneself to be a good person. So it doesn't lead anywhere useful, because actually it's motivated by the clinging to oneself, wanting to be a good person and having expectations of results.
Or not, or maybe they're not thinking about that themselves at that moment, but if there's no understanding about realities, then it will be taken for self.
Like you said, it will be taken for self. And that's so difficult to know. Am I taking it for self? As I, again, I know. But we take it for self all the time, but we don't realize it. Because we don't say, it's me, it's my kusala. We don't think it in words, like you often say. We don't think it in words. But still, we cling to the self. But it's a hard thing to understand that one, because that's truthfulness if that is understood.
So you're right in the sense that truthfulness is hard.
It is very hard.
I'm not, though.
Because
for the
baramis would develop without truthfulness. Mm.
cannot be truthfulness without understanding. It's trying to pinpoint, is it for myself or this or that? It's not understanding. It's clinging again.
But we have to know, the self. And if it is not known at all, we are fooling ourselves all the time.
But when there is thinking like now, is this is this self or is this not? Trying to work it out, it's not understanding, it's clinging at that moment, wanting to know, trying to work it out.
Trying to work out, we often use that expression,
It's motivated by clinging.
Yeah.
And Kunsara, thank you for the reminder that it's all Dhamma.
Dhammanusati.